Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday style, the 17th of December, 2025, right here on Connecticut Today. We chatted about news that Fairfield is now the 10th state municipality to announce the coming use of automated traffic cameras. Many folks consider the cameras necessary. Others consider such systems a big government intrusion on civil liberties. Connecticut Inside investigator, reporter Mark Fitch dropped by to talk about the latest controversy surrounding the state's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority under former chair Marissa Gillette. Hearst Connecticut Media senior editor and columnist Dan Haar updating us on a list of items, including the state employment picture and the departure of a key state marketing official. And CBS News White House reporter Aaron Navarro dropped by. He weighed in on an upcoming address by President Trump and the latest on the White House reaction to a controversial piece in Vanity Fair magazine. All right, now we're going to play a little school lesson here. I think we'll do this on a midweek Wednesday, the 17th of December, 2025. So, class, now that you're all seated and everything, I want you to get out your pen or pencil, whatever you write for. We can do whatever you like in this class, pen or pencil. Do something to write something with, all right? Put the phone away, Mary, Johnny, sit down. Let's all get started in class. Now, do you have your pen and pencil already? Maybe your Sharpie you're using, or maybe some of you still like to use crayons. All right. Maybe the Crayola crowd is out there today. All right. Hey, listen, if you had the 64 Crayola or the 128 Crayola, remember that in school? Man. It's like being the hot chick at the bar, huh? All right, now that you have that and you have some paper, are we all set now? I'm going to give you some information because I don't want to do this story and have you people in a couple of years call me up and say, "Hey, never tell me about it." This is exactly what we spent about 2.5 hours on yesterday. And I'm going to tell you this. And I'm going to tell you this again and again and again. You can bitch and moan and cry and whine all you want about the speed cameras and the red light cameras and the stop sign cameras. Guess what? It ain't going back. In fact, another town, it turns out a few days ago, according to our friends here at the Connecticut News Junkie, another town has been approved for automated traffic cameras. And that town would be, and this is where the pencil and paper comes in now, kids, or the crayons, or the Sharpies, that would be the fine little hamlet of Fairfield. Yes. So if you live in the town of Fairfield, if you visit the town of Fairfield often, if you own a business in Fairfield, if you just like Fairfield, if you live there or don't, I'm about to tell you where the speeding cameras are going to be. So, if you write them down, you will know where the speed cameras are going to be. Therefore, ipso facto, if you want to avoid the big government and the surveillance state, I will tell you exactly how to avoid them. And if you don't want to avoid it, I will tell you exactly how fast or slow you have to go to either get a ticket, if you really want one, or to avoid a ticket, which, I don't know about you, I would want to do. I'm not into giving my money to municipalities, but if I'm going to be a stooge, a stoonot, a cabone, whatever, and I'm still going to speed through the areas, hey, they deserve to get my debit card number, don't they? Or my check. According to this story here, Victoria Sundquist in the Connecticut News Junkie, Fairfield is the latest Connecticut municipality to be approved for automated traffic enforcement cameras. So you people in Fairfield, pay attention. Now, here's where they're going to be in Fairfield. Ready? Are we all sitting up straight? Are we looking at the at the chalkboard here? They don't have chalkboards anymore. They have these. My son's school started to get them years ago when they became hot, kind of like these computer aided boards. I forgot what there's a specific name for the board, whatever it is. It's something board when it's hooked into the laptop and it's hooked into the teacher or instructor's computer. Anyway, those are coming. And here they are. Here they are. You ready? Cameras have been proposed by the Burr Elementary School on Burr Street, the Timothy Dwight Elementary on Reading Road, the Riverfield Elementary on Mill Plain Road, Notre Dame Prep on Jefferson Street, Ludlow High and Middle Schools on Unqua Road, and by Ward High School on Melville Avenue. Did you get that now? I care about you so much, I'm going to repeat this. Six locations in the traffic camera plan for Fairfield. So if you don't want Big Brother, if you don't want the surveillance society to watch you, I have an idea. Avoid these six locations. Amazing, isn't it? They're telling you where the cameras are going to be. This is called a Stunot alert. They're trying to see how dumb you people are. Cameras have been proposed. Now, these are the proposals. I'm sure we'll find out the exact locations. The Burr Elementary School on Burr Street, the Timothy Dwight Elementary School on Reading Road, the Riverfield Elementary School on Mill Plain Road. Are you sensing the pattern here yet? Notre Dame Prep on Jefferson Street, Ludlow High School and Ludlow Middle Schools on Unqua Road, and right by Ward High School on Melville Avenue. Studies of those areas show, here's a shock, folks, a high volume of traffic and, I don't know, this is incredible thinking, huh? Many drivers exceeding the posted speed limits. Now, you're probably going to ask, well, okay, Paul, if I'm still going to be a Stunod and speed through those areas, even with the surveillance cameras, how much of a jerk can I be? I'll tell you about that coming up, but you tell, and by the way, I had another episode this morning, almost getting hit. But you tell me, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. And listen, I don't care where you live, you can call in. I'm anxious to hear from those folks who live or work in Fairfield. What do you think of this whole thing? The state DOT has approved the town of Fairfield's plan for automated traffic cameras in six school zones. Do you support this? Stand by, because I'll tell you what the jerk factor will have to be for you to get a ticket. All right, 203-333-9422-333-WICC. We hear from the Connecticut News Junkie, and they must have been listening to the program yesterday, because we talked about this for a good 2 hours or so, but I had to start with it again today, because, again, more and more and more of the states, cities and towns, big and small, have said enough. Enough with people driving like idiots. And by the way, this morning, again with me, before I came in here, coming out of the CVS, which is at, I don't know, 910, 915, 910, Route 5 in Wallingford. You know where it is, across the street from the Stop and Shop. And I'm waiting to come out. I had to go pick up, some aspirin or something at the CVS, bought a couple of things. And then all of a sudden I'm pulling. Now I get the green light. Okay, so it's green on my side. That means green means go. I said, wait a minute, let me, and sure enough, zoom, right under the light, some no good dirtbag Cavone right blows the red light like he's late for his crack fix, which he probably was, right? Yeah, I want that person to get fined on camera. Well, you know, Paul, we should have a police officer there. No, you don't need a cop. The guy blew the red in the intersection where I would have been, except for the fact that my Cavone antenna were already up and running at that hour. So I'm done. I don't care. You people want to file lawsuits or whatever. I don't care. I'm finished with dealing with a-holes on the road. I can't stand it anymore. I'm sorry. The Surveillance Society, if you're being surveilled and you're not a gavone, they won't care. I'm tired of dealing with morons on the road every GD day. No, I don't feel completely better, but I'm getting there. So again, in Fairfield, starting in a few months, they've got to, I guess, put this out to bid now and see what they're going to do. Cameras have been imposed for the Burr Elementary School on Burr Street, the Timothy Dwight Elementary School on Reading Road, the Riverfield Elementary School on Mill Plain Road, Notre Dame Prep on Jefferson Street, Ludlow High and Middle Schools on Unqua Road, and Ward High School on Melville Avenue. There it is. So what did I tell you? Did you write this down? Because now you can go, So if the cameras are at those six locations, if that ends up being the plan, then how do I avoid the cameras? I don't know, bright eyes, you tell me. I don't know. Tell me how you avoid the cameras. Maybe go another way? Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. Maybe if I have to go that way. Ah, ha, ha. So here's part two of the equation for all you road scholars out there. Here we go. The speed limits in those zones are going to be marked, once the cameras go up, at 20 miles an hour. And according to the law, you're not going to get an automated ticket unless you're going 30 miles an hour. So let's do, before we do news and traffic and weather together, let's do a little exercise, boys and girls, okay? So 20 plus 10 is what? 30, okay. But you have to hit 30 to get the ticket. So you tell me, boys and girls, if 30 gets you a ticket, what's the fastest you can go without getting a ticket? Mm-hmm. 29. Very good. There you go. So they're telling you where the cameras are going to be. There's going to be signage up. They're in school districts. The town is saying they've seen people not slowing down. They say we're going to post the speed limit at 20 miles an hour, which means that you get to go as fast as 29 miles an hour. Now you're sitting there saying, wait a minute, you mean I have to crawl through the speed zone? Yes, yes you do. Yes you do. I don't know how else to tell you. Yes you do. Yeah, but it's tough to go that slow. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. As one of my teachers used to say in elementary school, a nice Irish Catholic nun, honey, life is hard. All right, well, you tell me now, you folks who know the area, maybe you live, maybe you work in Fairfield, maybe you have kids at those schools, maybe you're a staff member, a teacher, paraprofessional, administrator at those schools, Burr Elementary, Timothy Dwight Elementary, Riverfield Elementary, Notre Dame Prep, Ludlow Middle and High Schools, and Ward High School. You like this idea? Or are you upset with this too? You tell me. You can give us a call, same number, talk or text, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Email Paul, P-A-U-L, Paul, at voiceofct.com. Our buddy Mark Fitch drops by for a check-in. Mark, of course, of the Connecticut Inside Investigator. And every time we have him on, it seems we're still talking about the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, PURA, which has kind of been rebooted since the exit of the former chairwoman there, Marissa Gillette. But the court proceedings go on, still investigating this op-ed. And Mark, good afternoon. Great to have you on. And now your latest piece here, which came out a couple of days ago, has to do with, I guess, a warning that Marissa Gillette made to her spokeswoman, and the plot here just thickens, does it not?
Yeah, it was kind of some odd timing for a phone call. Marissa Gillette called the Purist spokeswoman, Taryn O'Connor, the night before she was scheduled to give a deposition in a lawsuit the utilities had brought, and basically told her, it was, you know, kind of some quick chit chat, you know, and basically told her, hey, you might want to start looking for a job because the utility companies aren't going to stop with me and Scott Muska and Teresa Gobert. They're going to come after you too, essentially. Which is an odd thing to say because, you know, throughout the entire deposition, you know, Taryn O'Connor basically made clear that all the media inquiries that she received, including my own, were forwarded directly to Teresa Gobert and Scott Muska and Marissa Gillette. And then basically Taryn O'Connor would get the answers back, hit send on the email, and there we go. So she didn't have anything to do with, you know, some of the things that were going on and like how Pura conducted its meetings. So it was an odd thing to say. I've never heard anybody say anything about, you know, Ms. O'Connor. And for what it's worth, the Pura's general counsel, Scott Muska, is still employed there and still working on cases. And so is Gillette's former chief of staff, Teresa Gobert, still working on cases, still employed. So it was an odd thing to come on the eve of a deposition.
And Mark Fitch, you had a key phrase there in your answer just a few seconds ago when you said how Pura was conducting itself or conducting its meetings. And still, even though Marissa Gillette is gone and there's a full complement of Pura commissioners now, we should remind people, and I know you've been good in doing this, that a lot of these utility companies, they're not backing off now, are they, Mark? They're still, and a lot of legislators too, right, are still on the, you know, we told you so world tour here, and the utility companies may want to say, well, now we have to, revisit some of the stuff Pura did.
Oh, absolutely, because Pura admitted in court that, you know, what they did and what Marissa Gillette did specifically violated state statute, that they did not do things in accordance with state law. And this has been years, you know. So that sent at least one rate case back to Pura, but they could potentially go back through 5 years worth of decisions and start challenging particular ones. I mean, some are sets, you know, some it's like, you know, the cake is made, you know, nothing you can do.
Yeah.
But others they might be willing and able to challenge based on the admissions that Pura has already made in court. So yeah, this is not over. It's going to continue as far as I know. And yeah, while Pura has been reconstituted, and I think it seems that everybody's kind of happy with the way it's been reconstituted, that doesn't mean that the last 5 years have just been wiped away.
Yeah,
it's gonna keep happening.
Yeah, and the point, Mark, is, and you and I watch this for a while. You're right. Look, we can always fix things, and it appears these things are fixed. But I've always said, and I know you've kind of made the point here because I point people to read your stuff. This is the, and again, not accusing anybody of being evil here, but when you have these appointed boards with such great power that are unelected, and I don't care what part of state government it is, you're unelected and you don't directly answer to voters or even some members in the legislature, I think we saw how that can turn out, unfortunately.
Yeah, and these members are all appointed by, you know, Ned Lamont. They're essentially, you know, appointed to carry out. Yeah, he puts them there for a reason. They're going to kind of represent what his administration is trying to get done. And, you know, he continued to back Gillette throughout all of this. I mean, and as I've said before, he walked eyes wide open right into a scandal, right into a lawsuit. And he, frankly, I mean, all the warning signs were there. It was easy to know. It was easy to read.
Absolutely. Folks, just go to insideinvestigator.org. The latest piece from our guest, Mark Fitch. Gillette warned Pura spokeswoman that the utilities were coming for her. Mark, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you, my friend. Be good. Have a good holiday season, and we'll catch up. Thank you, sir.
You too, Paul. Thank you.
All right, there you go. And, oh, brother, do we have a long, long list of stuff, numerous stories, a cornucopia, dare I say, of stuff to talk about with Dan Haar from Hearst, Connecticut Media, senior columnist and editor. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, oh, I was on mute. Oh, demand the full 34 minutes. We can't do this in less than 34 minutes.
Okay, go ahead, because I'm here till 6. No, anyway, seriously, a lot going on here, Dan Haar. First of all, this whole Aquarian thing, explain that to my listeners. What's going on here?
Well, Aquarian has had their proposed merger with the Regional Water Authority of South Central Connecticut rejected by PURA, but not by the regulators, but not on the grounds of cost to ratepayers. They rejected it on the grounds that it was not the governance system they wanted to see. And there's a lot of legal debate, and the lawsuit by Eversource and RWA refutes that they have the right to do that because the legislature already approved it. Mm-hmm. Now take that whole piece, which is the part that's now in court, and set it aside for a minute. It's important backdrop. But what matters at the moment is that Attorney General Tan is saying overtly and specifically that the rates, if the sale were allowed to go through, would double.
Sure.
Right. So I did a little fancy math by looking at one page of one chart. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, yes, they were double in 10 years. And so the question is, over what period would the rates double at Aquarian? Well, we saw yesterday a 42% rate hike increase. Now, obviously, they're not going to get the full 42%. Even in the most utility-friendly times, and we are not in those times, PURA, or its predecessor, DPUC, Department of Public Utilities Control, did not grant all of a request. That's not happening.
Yeah.
But even if you, but they do have $448 million of pent up spent money, in much the same way that Eversource in Connecticut for electric has $1 billion of spent storm recovery that sooner or later they're going to have to recover. Aquarian has $448 million of newer pipes and valves and whatever else they do to move water around that they've already spent, right? And so remember, this rate hike increase represents $88 million per year, right? So you can see where, and that's not the only expense they've got. They've got PFAS, they've got all kinds of expenses. So the point is that they are underpaying for water right now at Aquarian, and we're not going to be able to keep those rates. The question is, which rates are going to be higher?
Exactly. Interesting with all the improvements they made. Yes. The chief marketing guy from the state of Connecticut, who appears on this radio station from time to time, he is leaving, and that has to do with what in tourism dollars, Dan?
Well, it's not directly. He's leaving to go hang out a shingle as a marketing and communications consultant competing with, our friends that we know and love that are in public policy for clients.
Yeah.
But by the by, as I write the story, I talk about how he was the leader of the pizza, the pizza capital of the U.S. campaign and the Make It in Connecticut campaign. And those campaigns, surveys show and dollars show that those campaigns have done well. But my harder-edged point in this is they've done well, even though we're only spending $4.5 million fiscal year, on marketing media. And that's down from $12 million in 22. So we're going in the wrong direction. And a lot of people, such as Scott Dolch, the head of the Restaurant Association, who's probably been on your show.
Oh, yes, are very
And the heads of virtually every historic museum and Humanities Council in Connecticut is upset because the Governor Ned Lamont is perplexing, right? Rhetorically, he does nothing but support these things. He's at their events. He comes to events. He comes to ribbon cuttings. He declares Hallmark Christmas movie trails. but he don't want to spend any money. So, yeah, you know, that's the issue. And I would hesitate. I would hastily say that Anthony did not leave as a result of this dispute over money. That
okay.
is not he didn't get driven out because his bosses and the legislature declined to spend enough money in his department. That is not what happened. He went he's taking an opportunity. He's got kids and he's 40 years old, and now's the time to strike.
Excellent. Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media. Dan, give us a quick synopsis on employment, the Connecticut economy. What are the latest numbers look like that you've seen?
Well, the numbers are softening. Connecticut is not attracting enough people to the workforce. The labor force in Connecticut, that is the combined number of people actively looking for work or working. What about those of us who are, never mind.
yes.
Are we in the list? So it is sluggish. It's not really growing much since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. Nationally, it's growing a little bit more, but nationally, jobs are being created, but the labor force growth, the number of people looking for jobs is such that the national unemployment rate is now almost a full percentage point above Connecticut.
Wow.
So now some people look at job creation. Nationally, job creation is slow, and Connecticut job creation is even slower. It's not at a very good rate. Connecticut has created only, I think, what, negative 4,000 jobs in the last 12 months. We don't look at month to month. I get that we had 1 month of negative 5,700. 1 month means nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody should look at 1 month and say, oh, my God, anything. But 1 year, we've had about 4,500, and that's not enough job growth. So you say, oh, my God, the nation is growing faster than we are. But Connecticut is always a slow growth state.
Yes.
And so I will leave you with the unanswerable question.
Okay.
Are things slowing because of the national economy or because of Connecticut policy that is causing slowdowns and bottlenecks?
Interesting.
And that's really where the debate is.
Interesting. And the final item here, do we have any news, Dan Haar, concerning the Connecticut Sun? What's up with that?
Well, it ain't going to – well, I shouldn't say ain't. It's not likely that the Connecticut Sun will be playing here in 2027. It is possible.
Yeah.
There's a very narrow path to that happening, but that path is diminishing. And soon we will see news reports of the Mohegan tribe, the team,
yeah.
known as the team, negotiating with Houston and or other places.
Oh.
And then soon after that, we're going to see a tentative deal. And soon after that, we're going to see the league approve it. And then it's going to be game over. The good news is they're playing two games in Hartford next season, this coming season, 26.
Okay.
It's still in Connecticut. We should still support the team. They're still a Connecticut institution.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lame duck year if they reach a deal to move elsewhere. Look, the tribe may decide not to sell, and the whole thing was like, never mind,
true.
We're here.
Yeah.
So as long as they're still here, they're still here. Long and the short of it is that Lamont and the tribe reached a deal in principle.
Mm-hmm.
The league, in the form of the NBA, lording over the WNBA, said, no, you're not going to do that. We want that team somewhere else.
Absolutely. Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media. Great list there, Dan. We appreciate it. Take care, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Have a great week, and have a great Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve is next year. I'm not sure we're going to talk next week.
Yeah, no, I am off next week, so we'll talk to you down the road.
Have a great holiday. Have
All
a great
right,
Christmas.
Dan, you too as well. Dan Harhurst, Connecticut Media. A lot going on in D.C. We always like to do a check-in on this stuff, if possible. And joining us right now, a couple of big stories in D.C., CBS News reporter Aaron Navarro standing by with us. Aaron, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Paul, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good, doing well, my friend. First of all, the president's going to address the nation tonight about what? What are you guys and gals being told, if anything?
No, this is part of the customary year event speech that we did see at the end of the year during President Biden's tenure, as well as President Trump's first term. But how the administration and the White House is portraying the speech we'll hear tonight, it's sort of a recap of what they've done as the White House wants to get more messaging out about the impact they're making on the economy, as that is a number in polling where you've seen President Trump struggle, as well as talk about some of the foreign policy accomplishments in their eyes that they have had throughout the year. And then also turn the page and look at what the president is going to do in his next 3 years. We probably won't get any real specific policy announcements, but general ideas of what the president wants to prioritize after year one.
Yeah, and all this comes, Aaron, you talk about foreign policy. We see him getting, you know, he's not easing off. He's getting a little tougher here on Venezuela, correct?
That's right. And, you know, for months he has teased some sort of land action when it comes to Venezuela following the attacks on those alleged narco-terrorist boats coming off the coast of Venezuela. But last night he also announced a blockade of sanctioned oil tankers coming in and out of Venezuela. Now, that will make a pretty big impact on the country's economy. Yes, there are some unsanctioned vessels carrying oil, particularly for Chevron, the only American oil company right now in Venezuela. But this will put more pressure on the leader there, Nicolas Maduro, as the administration has shown sign after sign that they want a regime change in that country.
And finally, Aaron Navarro, we have the blowback here, the reaction still coming in. A long piece in Vanity Fair magazine with Susie Wiles, the White House chief of staff, who you never really hear a lot about, as you did with other chiefs of staff here. But how was the White House spinning this piece where she said things and she said, well, this was a hit piece. And the guy who wrote it said, well, no, really, I'm just telling you what's going on. How are they spinning this? And do they really care?
Yeah, Chris Whipple, who has interviewed a lot of living chiefs of staff, different presidents, said all of this was on the record, which privately has caught some White House officials by surprise, wondering why she would do so much with Vanity Fair over 11 months, all on the record. But publicly, they are saying that it was, quote, disingenuously framed. That's what Wiles said in response. You've seen White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt say that there is bias with what they leave out. They say that journalist there, Chris Whipple, did many interviews with other cabinet officials, top Trump officials, and their quotes kind of, you know, praising the work they've done this year were all left out. So they're saying that they only wrote this way to kind of feed the narrative that they wanted. But, you know, it's something that I'm sure will follow Susie Wiles throughout the rest of her tenure as chief of staff for President Trump. But President Trump has only shown public support, saying that she's, quote, done a fantastic job.
All right. Aaron Navarro, CBS News. As always, Aaron, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Anytime, Paul.
All right. There you go. Aaron Navarro, CBS News.